Welcome to the New Life Millbrook Weekly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message. For more information about this podcast or other resources, please visit nlmillbrook.com.
Let's go ahead and pray, and then we're just going to kind of see what happens today. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you that as we dive in, that you know all things, you see all things, you hear all things, and we just thank you that as even our reference, the truth is in your word, and it's in your voice. And we just thank you that you have the voice of truth, and that we don't have to listen to outside opinions who have limited information. We can go to the one who knows all things. And we just give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. If you didn't know, it's been a busy week. I want to reference a couple of things, and then we're gonna dive into our topic today. There is a growing conflict, as you guys have seen, in the Middle East over the past 48 hours that is taking place right now between Israel and Iran. And I want you to hear me very clear when I tell you this. Fear not. Don't be afraid. I understand what you see on TikTok and YouTube and Facebook and everything else. Just want to be very clear, don't be afraid. And you're going to look at me and say, but they are saying X, Y, and Z, and it's the signs of the times, and it's the rapture and everything. And you know if it is? Deuces. I mean, like, seriously. I mean, like, we missed the rapture last week, by the way. So, like, you know, like, if this is it, then I'm out. See you guys. And if I wake up and all of y'all are gone, I'm still going to disappear so no one will know I'm left behind. Did anybody else get traumatized by those series? Oh, my word. I know that there's a lot of cool talking heads on your phone that will tell you that they know and they've read and they've taken numerology and eschatology and demonology and angelology, and they took all those together and then they ate some shrooms and God revealed to them the magic date that God is going to come back. No man knows. No man knows. Okay? Paul tells us there are seasons that we can look for. But can I be honest with you? That season, Paul thought the last days were while he was still on earth. So Paul's last days have been 2,000 years. So when I look at you and say it is the last days, that could be another 2,000 years. Your last days are now. And what we don't need to see happen is the church be polarized by fear and talking heads who are telling you to lose your mind. Okay, these individuals do not have your best interest at heart. What they want is for you to click share, because every time you do that and rewatch, they get paid. They're looking, it's called clickbait. They're looking for you to freak out, get emotional, either happy, sad, or angry, share it, and then they just sit home and make money out of your emotions. I need you to understand this. People are profiting on your emotions. And what we need to understand is this is the time of our life where we need to be steadfast, in peace, and immovable, because our hope and our trust is not in a powerful military and it's not in a world economy. Our hope and our trust is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So no matter what you see unfold over the next 7 days of a retaliation and everything else, it is what it is, my friends. And what we're going to do is we're going to pray. Not for, I need you to hear me before I start casting stones. We need to pray for the peace over it all. Peace. That's what we're praying for. Peace. We're not picking a side. We're not picking determinations on who did what, where, and how. And I'm not here to argue on geopolitical hot events right now and what we should or should not do. What we should do as a church is pray for peace. That's what we should do. And we maintain peace here above all things. And then outside of that, you know what we got to do, guys? We have to maintain peace within ourselves. This is not the time to lose heart. This is not the time to just realize that, well, it is what it is, and it's the end of the world, and to go dig a hole in a bunker and stockpile a bunch of weapons and food and let your beard grow out and live into a cave. Like, this is not that season of life, okay? You are in God's hands. And God picked you for this time and this season of life for a purpose. And that purpose is not to lose heart. Okay? Amen? Are we all on the same page on that one? Can we agree to those terms? I believe, there is wisdom that we will operate, and there's also wisdom that you need to operate. If you are struggling with a spirit of fear, do not turn your television on. I'm just being just practical as I can get. If you're struggling with alcoholism, don't go to a bar. And if you're struggling with fear, maybe turn your phone off. Get off social media. Don't turn on the TV. And there's some fantastic things that are in this. I found this. This is a new thing. It's called a Bible. And it's got a lot of positive things about what God is doing in our times. And it will give you hope for a future. Amen? Hallelujah. That's where we are with that one. Second thing we need to announce is that we released a letter out to our areas here, of our parents, that we have been serving our community in one of our areas of ministry with the school for quite some time. We've seen so many people's lives change and come to Christ and know Him in a personal way. And after consideration and everything else that's taken place, we have decided that this is going to be our last year with the school. We are going to branch out as a church into newer ministries over the next few months. You're going to hear new things. But I will tell you this, thank you for everyone who has served and continue to serve. We do not quit the ministry that is ministering to the people, what we're called to do. And however that may look, from the food ministry to the youth ministry, to kids ministry, to worship, it is all about touching lives. And so we're going to take a transition into a new chapter of ministry. And I'm excited to see what God's going to do at New Life. Amen? Amen. Acts chapter 15. Did I get to finish 14 last week? I don't know. I did? I did-ish, she said. Linda says it wasn't good enough. Okay. So, yes, they have wrapped up their first missionary journey in Acts 14, and Acts 14 kind of ends as if Paul and Barnabas are walking to Antioch, screen fades to black, credits roll, and they live happily ever after. And then Acts 15 is like the post-credit scenes, where it's like, and part two is coming because disaster takes place. So you come back to watch the next movie. And Acts 15 starts off with this, and certain men. That's a great start. And certain men came from Judea and taught the brethren, unless you are circumcised according to the customs of Moses, you cannot be saved. Therefore, when Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and dispute with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders about this question. Just a couple of notes on this real quick. When that word says no small dissension, they had a fight. It may not have gotten to fisticuffs by a long shot, but this was not like, oh, you think that? I disagree. Let's go to Jerusalem and have a conversation about it. This is a heated argument. This is the argument with your wife when she starts taking out the earrings kind of an argument, when you know things are about to get nasty real quick. This is not a good situation in the church. And it's not a good situation because Paul and Barnabas at this season have just finished a tour, their first tour of the missionary world, preaching to both Jews and Gentiles of the grace of Jesus. Okay, and now certain men have come up. These are called Judaizers. They came to Antioch and they taught the Gentile nation that you must be like me before you could ever be a Christian. Now, just to give you a peek into what's about to happen, these Judaizers are converts to Christianity. And can anybody guess what Jewish background they came from? The Pharisees. Isn't that interesting? The Pharisees, who have now converted to Christianity, want to bring their religiousness with them into the faith. And now we need to pause here for a second because I am equally guilty of this. The more I study the word, the more I am grounded in his love. But at the same time, there are still certain things that we have to address. And I need to walk through this the best way that I can. There is, according to Scripture, in the New Testament, something called sin. It existed after Jesus. It existed before he was born on this earth. Sin has existed since Adam and Eve, and sin did not get abolished at the cross. I can prove that because after the cross is where we read so much about sin. If sin was completely abolished and there was no sin, Paul wouldn't write as many letters as he did about their issues and the sinful nature. Okay? So here's where we stand when it comes to this. There is sin in this world, and there is a Savior to restore us back to God. And what happens a lot of times in our faith is that now what happens is that we have decided what has become sin. Paul lays out that sin is missing the mark that God has called for us to do. And I need to be as black and white as I possibly can. There are areas of our lives that are very, very black and white. The Bible says, do not lie. That's a black and white issue. It's very clear. Those are called non-negotiable sins. There are sins that are so universal, they are named in the Bible. But isn't it interesting that the further we grow with God, the more he demands of us? The Bible also says for he to do what is, to know what is right and do it not, that is sin. But this is where our vagueness comes into it, okay? This is the gray area of Christian life, and I'm going to try not to sound like a heretic, so please don't throw stones until I'm finished, and then I may welcome them. But what happens here is this. As I have developed my relationship with God, he has asked of me to give up certain things in a season that seemingly were not convictions in a previous season. Has that ever happened to anybody? Absolutely. Where last month that was fine, God, but now all of a sudden I feel bad about it? What is the deal? And what God is doing is he's moving you from grace to grace, from glory to glory, and in every new season there is a new demand. Okay? And what happens in our churches is that Pete, who is now 40, who has been serving God faithfully for quite some time, will meet an Alan who just gets saved and then go, well, let me catch you up to where I'm at and add in all of these things. And that is not our responsibility. It doesn't mean that we ever shy away from what is clearly written in Scripture. You shouldn't kill anybody. I don't need to be the Holy Spirit for you to tell you that. It's clearly black and white. And there are areas that also get evolved, if you will. Okay, tomorrow is a fun day for a lot of people. It is tax day. If you haven't filed, but most of you guys have already filed your taxes, I would imagine. The vast majority of us have. And so I can say this now with a clear conscience. There are areas in our lives, in this microcosm of taxes, that last year we might have said that this was a deduction, but this year God goes, was it really? Was it? You're like, well, I'm not lying about it. It's that loophole math. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? That loophole issues. It was because of the way that the moon crossed the sun and it created, it's that loophole that we're looking for. I was talking to my son not too long ago, and I told Malachi, I said, Malachi, I want you to finish this game and go to bed. What did I explain to my son? He was playing online with his friends. I want you to finish this game and go to bed. Unbeknownst to me, this game with his friends online has a loophole that's not timed. 3 a.m., and I hear, "Are you kidding me?" Which, y'all, I have spent 24 years burying a specific individual. And at 3 a.m., when disobedience happens, 1999 Pete wants to come out with a vengeance. I would like to say I was calm in the spirit and prayed in tongues before I reacted. I didn't. And what happened was, is I understood he wasn't disobedient. He found a loophole. But he also knew what I was communicating, which means 10 minutes, turn this thing off. Not 4.5 hours later when his friends get disconnected. Here's what happens in our lives. A lot of times, a loophole will be closed in a season because God's asking for a higher calling of you. And when it comes into my life, my responsibility as a man of God is not to force my closed loopholes onto every single individual. Because information is weight. And sometimes, not everyone can bear the weight of where you are in your walk with God. And it's our responsibility to love all people where they are and let the Holy Spirit challenge them. It does not mean we ignore the consequence of sin. It does not mean that we shut down this idea of right and wrong. But what it does mean is that there are areas in our lives that we have got to understand is not meant for everybody. It's meant for me. And if I don't do it, it's a sin. I had a conversation recently with somebody who told me point blank that God told them it was a sin for them to listen to secular music. And I said, amen. It's not a sin for me. Have fun with that. And they were shocked that I didn't jump on their bandwagon. You know why? I'm not convicted by it. There are some areas of music I go, I'm not listening to that garbage. But not all things, just because Way FM doesn't play it, doesn't mean it's wrong. That's my personal thing. But they were trying to tell me that because they were wanting to be more spiritual and they had their convictions, that it was my responsibility. These Pharisees here in this context have now told the church they must not only have Jesus, but they have to go through new steps to receive it. Everything you have done to this point is cute, but it's not Christ. So now Paul and Barnabas have had no small discussion. And I'm so happy that they stood up for what they believed. Paul and Barnabas caused such a ruckus with this absolute lie that they were all forced to gather with the apostles and get down to the dirty on what's taken place. I tell you this because not too long ago, I had a very similar conversation with somebody online. They posted a very blanket statement about sin. That sin is gone, it's done away with, grace forever reigns. To which I replied, that's not true. That was a pastor posting this publicly, and I figured if he posted it publicly, I'd comment publicly. And then to which he replies to me publicly that if you can tell me where it's found, show it to me. I took screenshots of the Bible, and I posted it along with Strong's, which for those of you who don't know, Strong's takes the Greek, the Hebrew, and the Aramaic in its original context, converts it over to English so we can read it. So then I took a couple of keywords, screenshotted those, added that to my post as well. His response to me, well, that's a Western viewpoint. And I'm like, it's not Western. It's called translation, genius. Like, it's there. And he sat there and he was arguing with me because his stance is what he wants it to be. and I need you to understand, just because I want the Bible to read a specific way doesn't mean it actually does. And when I'm looking at things and I'm watching what's happening behind these pulpits, it's bothersome to me. Because not every single voice that sounds good is from God. And what's taken place is these certain men are sounding good and they're sounding spiritual, but they're not from God. And Paul and Barnabas said lies. And I need you to understand, I'm not here to play and pause different scriptures and different sermons and call out a bunch of ministers, but when I look at you and say that this is a heretic statement, this is a heretic statement. Why is it heresy? This is heresy here because what they're saying is Jesus wasn't enough. You must do more. And Paul and Barnabas are going, Jesus is enough. We don't have to do more. So he stood up. So I stand up. I'm bothered by a lot of things. I'm bothered by two extremes. One where everything that moves is the devil. And I'm bothered on the other side where everything that moves is been covered by grace and there is no such thing as the devil. He's already bound and everything's fine. I'm like, it's not true. The devil didn't make you do it. You're not possessed. Take ownership of the sin that you've caused, repent, and be made righteous. And at the same time, understand you are a sinner and you need Jesus. They're standing up. As men and women of our faith, it is okay, 100% okay, for us to look at black and white issues and call them what they are. You'll never see me debate a gray issue. That's not my place. You're never going to see me get up there and debate somebody because of an issue on secular music or movies that are above PG. That's not my place. But there are certain foundational things as we as a church that we have to stand strong on. Let's go there. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the light, and no man can come to the Father except through him. Amen. Number two, Jesus was born of a virgin. Sinless and blameless before God, he lived on this earth for 33 years, performed miracles, and taught amazing word, and then he died for your sins, and he rose 3 days later from the grave. Jesus is not dead, but currently alive, sitting at the right hand of the Father, waiting for the green light to come back down and restore this place. The in-between time is where the church age is, where we live and we rule as co-heirs with Christ, asking him what needs to be happening on the earth, and we enforce it here on the earth. Yes. Do you understand so far? Let's back up a little bit more. There is but one God who created the heavens and the earth. This one God breathed life into a man named Adam. He formed a woman named Eve. They populated the earth. Years later, man was full of sin. He flooded the earth. He saved a man named Noah and his family. They repopulated the earth again. Fast forward a little bit later, there was a man named Abraham. Abraham was found serving false gods, and Jehovah calls him out of his darkness and says, go into a land. He makes a covenant with this man, and from this man, the seed of David comes through. From David comes Jesus, and that's where we are today. If we can agree on those things, we're okay. All right, I need you to picture this as the United States of America. How many of you understand that Alabama is a little different than California? It's a little different. All right, too much of extreme. How about this? Alabama is even different than Tennessee. You with me? Similar, but different. Y'all know we different than Louisiana. Them Cajuns are crazy. But when World War III happens, we want them on our side with the Gators. New York, we pray for them. No, in New York, it's different. Montana is different than here. Washington is different than here. But you know what we all have in common? Can anybody tell us? We're all Americans. We live in a very specific boundaries. We are Americans. And you know what's crazy? September 9th, 2001, we didn't get along. September 10th, 2001, we didn't get along. The next day happened, and every single person from all corners of America merged together to go, who are we going to kill? It didn't matter what part of America you were from, we were Americans on that day. With that said, are Canadians Americans? It's not a trick question. Is Mexico Americans? No, they're not. Okay, so let's just, we pictured. Y'all are like on edge if I want to say some kind of big, huge immigration statement. I'm not. Calm down. We have, whether they're physical or invisible, borders between America and Canada and America and Mexico. Is that correct? Everything in between those two borders is called what? America. What if you are born in America as an American citizen, but you don't look like me? Are you still an American? What if you don't act like me? Are you still an American? Because here's what happens. There are specific things that make us American citizens. And I need you to understand. Canada, God bless them. Mexico, God bless them. They're not America. And here's where we stand. You can have a lot of denominations that make up the body of Christ. They may have different stances and different nuances, but they're still Christians first. Just like California is going to be different than Alabama. And as we look through this, we need to understand, how do you know where somebody stands? You know this based on what their profession of the statements that I just made. Is there one God? Did Jesus come and die, sinless and blameless, and did Jesus rise again? Was he born of a virgin? That's an important part. Why is that important? Because it shows he was sinless. And is he going to come back? Those five things. If you can stand firm on those five things, we're good. But then there's other faiths that look like us, kind of like Canada, but they're not us. We can befriend them, but they're not you. Anybody who's going to stand there and say that you can have multiple gods, they can be friendly, but they're not us. Anybody who can stand there and say that I can become a god, they can be friendly, but they're not us. They can do fantastic deeds and they can serve the poor and they can help people, but they're not going to be us. There are certain things that transgress, and they'll look and say, well, Jesus died as the Son of God, but he did die and he stayed dead. They're not us. There's others that say Jesus never actually died. He escaped death and he's still ministering out the world. They're not us. There is a plurality of gods that came together and created the heavens and the earth. They're not us. Also, anybody who will add in that you must do more than Jesus to be saved is not us. You need to be very clear about that. There is no works for salvation. That's what the enemy wanted. And it's what he continually wants. And as the world changes and as the world progresses, you must stand firm that Jesus is all I need for salvation. If you want to back up a few weeks and look at what it means to be a disciple, that's a different story. There's a lot of work involved in following Jesus. There's a lot of effort involved in dying to self on a regular basis. But Jesus is the only way to salvation. So being sent on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, describing the conversions of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy to all the brethren. And when they come to Jerusalem, they were received by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they reported all the things that God had done with them. But some of the sect of the Pharisees who believed in Jesus rose up and says, "It is necessary to circumcise them and command them to keep the law of Moses." Remember? Jesus plus works will equal salvation according to this grace. Is that Christianity? No. One more time. Is that Christianity?
No.
Is there anything wrong with following the guidelines of Moses? There's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing. In fact, that'll probably be a really healthy lifestyle. However, following the law of Moses will not guarantee you salvation. It's through Jesus Christ alone. Now the apostles and the elders came together to consider this matter. And when there had been much dispute, Peter rose up and said to them, "Men and brethren, you know a good while ago God chose among us that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe." Pause. Y'all remember that? Acts chapter 10, Peter had a vision. He dreamed of all those things, and then he met. Okay, back up, fast forward. "So God, who knows the heart, acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Spirit just as he did to us, and made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why do you test God by putting a yoke on the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear?" Peter pauses and says, "Guys, we tried this. Did not work well. It was such a disaster. God had to come and die. That's how bad we screwed this thing up. And now we're going to look at them and say, let's try it again?" No, absolutely not. Again, if you're looking through the law of Moses, there is nothing wrong with living by the precepts of what he's requiring. How to eat, washing, all of those things, great ideas, great, fantastic things, good for your health. However, it is not a salvation issue any longer. Okay, "But we believe," verse 11, "that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner as they." Then the multitude kept silent and listened to Barnabas and Paul declaring how many miracles and wonders God had done through them among the Gentiles. So what's happening here, if we're going to backtrack 15 chapters and walk through this, what Paul and Barnabas are talking about is not just the miracles of people getting healed and Paul coming back from dead, but there's an important connotation that Paul and Barnabas are going to be making in this argument, and that is this: we watched God fill these uncircumcised Gentiles with his Holy Spirit. And if God would fill them with his Holy Spirit without the law of Moses, wouldn't that mean that he does not need the law of Moses anymore to be by God? That's an important thing. As believers, our idea is to look at what is God currently doing on this earth? And what are the unnecessary requirements we are adding to what God is doing on this earth? See, a lot of times we want to sound spiritual, but all we're doing is putting handcuffs on God. A lot of times we want to add things in because I think it would be better this way, but God hasn't declared it. In other words, sometimes in my life, I went, it can't be that easy. Has anybody else thought that? It just can't be that easy. Like, you're telling me, I had a crazy wild life, we did all these bad things, and then I prayed and accepted Jesus, and we're good? It can't be that easy. Like, there's got to be penance. There's got to be a pound. God wants a, if you did wrong to me that long, I want a pound of flesh. Has anybody ever wanted justice for being wronged? Facts. Vindication. So in my mind, I go, well, why wouldn't God want the same thing? It can't be that easy. And I'm here to tell you, it is that easy. It's that easy. And you know why it's that easy? Because God didn't want you messing it up. My name is Pete, and I mess up a lot of things. Have you ever had your kids try to help you in the car or the garage or cleaning the house or making food? Their hearts are in the right place. I'll put it this way. The other day, my daughter, God bless her, came to me and she goes, Dad, I'm going to make dinner. Okay. What you going to make, sis? She goes, scrambled eggs. I'm like, you got this. I've watched you. I've had your scrambled eggs. Add some salt. I'm good to go. They're fantastic. Go for it. Okay, great. She sprays the pan. She cracks the eggs. She does her thing. And then goes, while she's got all the things going, Dad, why don't you go lay down and I'll make you dinner in bed. So sweet. And I'm like, oh, done. I lay in bed. Da-na-na, da-na-na. Come in, my eggs in a bowl. She brings me some salt. She takes it back. Anything else I can do for you, Dad? Some water would be great. I'll get you some water. She goes, gets me some water, brings it back. I'm like, I made it. So she comes back in. Are you done yet? I'm done, yeah. You want to clean your bowl? What do you want? I don't want anything. I just want you to relax. Okay. I give her the bowl. You know, the rest of the night, she didn't come and ask for a single thing. So sweet, right? The next morning, I wake up and realize there was 5 dozen eggs left out overnight. Because I came outside, I'm like, why does my living room smell like a fart? I bought a brand new 5 dozen egg thing from Costco. And she opened up 4 eggs and left them all out to rot. She was sweet. She caused a mess. When it comes to my spirituality and my walk with God, He doesn't want your salvation fingerprints on it because you'll mess it up. And anything that we add to His salvation, we will mess it up. We will screw it up, and we will put a new yoke of slavery on everybody that we try to convert. Our responsibility is to preach the gospel of Jesus is our salvation point. But can I tell you something, though? My role now as a pastor is to lead people past the cross. See, leading somebody to the cross is Jesus and Jesus alone, and you stop. You shut up. There's no hoops. There's no jumps. There's no tithe. There's no offering. There's no worshiping your hands and raising your hands. And there's no living by this law and doing this. And it's Jesus and Jesus only. And that gets people to the cross. And then they convert and they say, Jesus, I want Him. And then they have a responsibility after the cross for what is called discipleship. But discipleship is not the way to get to the cross. Jesus is the only way. And you have to stop there. They didn't want to stop there. They wanted all these hoops because it can't be that easy. It must be the law of Moses and Jesus. It must be clean yourself up and then Jesus. It must be don't have alcohol for 6 months and then Jesus. It must be you must have stopped doing drugs for 8 years and then Jesus. It must be you must be through out of release from prison for 4.5 years and then you can be part of Jesus. See, what we do is we put hoops on people to protect ourselves. But can I tell you, there's a difference between protecting an organization and keeping people away from Jesus. We have guidelines and regulations for who we as a church, New Life, who serves in our kids' ministry. Does anybody know why? Safety. We love our kids. And there are certain people that cannot serve our kids' ministry, but it doesn't mean they're not Christians. We just have certain guidelines. Does that make sense? And when it comes to the faith is open to all people. There are no regulations. The multitude kept silent, listening to Paul and Barnabas declaring their miracles. Verse 13, after they become silent, James answered saying, "Men and brethren, listen to me. Simon, aka Peter, has declared how God at the first visited the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And with this, the words of the prophet agree, as it is written, 'After this, I will return and I will rebuild the tabernacle of David.'" Remember that conversation? "Which has fallen down. I will rebuild its ruins and I will set it up so that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord, even all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who does all things." I love this. He didn't rebuild the tabernacle of Solomon, the temple of Solomon. He talks about the tabernacle of David because David was open to all people. God was not stuck behind a wall. He was visible. David would dance before the Lord. "Known to God from eternity are all his works. Therefore, I judge that we should not trouble those from among the Gentiles who are turning to God, but that we write to them to abstain from things polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, from things strangled, and from the blood. For Moses has throughout many generations, those who preached him in every city, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath. So then it pleased the apostles and elders, while the whole church, to send those chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, not the one who killed himself, Judas, who was also named Barsabbas, and Silas, leading men among the brethren. They wrote this letter by them, the apostles and elders and the brethren, to the brethren who are in the Gentiles of Antioch, Syria, and Sicilia, greetings. Since we have heard that some who went out from us have troubled you with words, unsettling your soul, saying, 'You must be circumcised and keep the law,' to whom we gave no such commandment. It seems good to us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have therefore sent Judas and Silas, who will also report the same things by the word of mouth, for it seems good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things." Here's the necessary things that they ask: that you abstain from things offered to idols. Paul talks about that a lot later on. We don't typically deal with that anymore. But they would sacrifice different animals to gods. Don't eat those things. From blood, we'll talk about that another time. From things that are strangled and from sexual immorality, if you keep yourself from these things, you will do well. Then they were sent off, and they came to Antioch. And when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered this letter. And when they had read it, they rejoiced over its encouragement. Now Judas and Silas, themselves being prophets, also exhorted and strengthened the brethren with many words. And after they stayed there for some time, they were sent back with greetings from the brethren to the apostles. Let's pause. What happened in this context is that the apostles gathered together to hear a dispute. There's a lot that I could talk about, but I'm going to close in this aspect. If they were not part of a body of faith, they would be left by themselves to figure it out. It is important that we, as a church, understand that the gathering of the saints helps us understand what God is saying. They brought an issue to the apostles and said, here's where we are. Help us pray through the situation. Sometimes people come to us and they'll say, hey, I need some wisdom about buying this car, buying this house, doing this or doing that, moving or whatever's going on. We'll pray through it and give our opinions. But in this case, there was a very big spiritual component that was taking place. We talked earlier about the world being crazy, and it's going to get crazier. And one thing that I'm fully aware of is that the church is full of cycles. And what has taken place over the past 30, 40 years, is that we went from a very, very, very strong, some of y'all remember this 50 years ago in the church, very strong authoritarian version of God. Okay? If you speak in church, you're going to get smacked. God's watching you. Be mean. You know, that whole thing. And over the course of time, the pendulum has swung way over here. And now we're seeing, if I can be so bold as to say, in a lot of context, a very big disrespect against God. It's this idea of, I can thumb my nose at Scripture, it doesn't matter anyways. And I need you to understand, this season will end. Can anybody guess what we'll go back to? This is the cycle of church. Over hundreds and hundreds of years, we've had church history show this, that there has been strict rules and regulations and this, and then all of a sudden it goes to this wild season of church, and then it comes, and then people realize, I think we've gone off track. Let's add more rules. And I'm here to tell you this. When you hear and you listen and you watch and you read and you're walking through this world and hearing so many crazy, and I don't even want to call them ministers, charlatans. And you have a question? You have all rights to come to us and ask. I invite it. Please. Well, Pastor P, I heard this podcast and I don't know, what do you think? We'll walk through it together. We'll listen to it. What I'm trying to tell you is you should not feel like you have to figure your faith out alone. And there's a lot of times my dad and myself will look at you and go, well, what do you feel about it? It's a gray area. What's God telling you? But do not forsake the assembling of the saints, because the world itself is going to be throwing so many ideas at you, it's going to keep you off balance. And it's going to sound really good. Do you know why people believe in lies? It sounds good. And we're very clear that in the last days, you're going to read it through Paul, there are people who are going to say they come from God, yet they come from the father of the devil. Just because somebody has an opinion about Scripture doesn't mean it's right. Just because somebody has a PhD in systematic theology doesn't mean that they're from God. And just because somebody has some really cool statements and one-liners on TikTok doesn't mean that everything they say is correct. I need you to hear me. When you find yourself going, huh? Ask. We will gather together and we will seek out the face of God, because you are not meant to do this alone. Neither am I. So come together. Don't stay in the darkness. Don't live in fear. Don't live in confusion. Bring it into light and let's have a discussion, just like they did at the first church. Amen? We are here for you. New Life will welcome everybody in. But our mission has been very clearly stated, and that is this, is to help people post the cross. Your responsibility is to go into all the world, preach the gospel, lead them to Jesus. Our responsibility up here is to help you post the cross to live a godly life. We will forever be speaking to you as believers. Unbelievers are always welcome, but I'm never going to water down what I'm doing for anybody. We're speaking to you as men and women of God that are desiring to grow, not just check, went to church. You feel me? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day as we wrapped up Acts chapter 15, at least most of it, that you speak to us, that we don't add, that we don't detract, that we don't take anything out of your word that you have spoken to us. That God, as we wrap this thing up, God, I just thank you that you are ministering to our hearts, that we don't burden men and women with more works for salvation. But God, at the same time, that we also understand that you have called us for greatness. And so understanding that being a disciple is going to cost us something. And I just thank you that as we journey together in the in-between discipleship and salvation, that you continue to speak to us, unify us, let us hear your voice with clarity and confidence. In Jesus' name, amen. We love you guys. We'll see y'all next week.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Have a great week.